B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, to your phones as promised. Kevin and Natick with an answer to Maz on nerds and douchebag analytics. Go ahead, Kevin.
Hey, guys. Love the show. Love the station. So bear with me for a second. You guys are both intelligent people, right?
Debatable.
So you guys believe in global warming?
Yes.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. And now why do you believe in global? And now, before I preface that.
I believe in science. I trust science. Please get to your point.
Okay. So if you trust in data, what? Now, and I'm not saying this to be facetious or condescending. I'm saying this because I'm on both ends of the spectrum. I was an athlete for 30 years, but I'm a data analyst now. And when I was an athlete, I would use the data to get better. So what is it that, why won't you trust data at all?
Because there's deal breakers for me. Analytics, for example, doesn't believe in clutch and late, which to me, I can't get past that, Kevin, because that means that the analyst is not taking the human element in, or probably never played, unlike you, to realize that it's different when the money's on the table and people respond differently. And there's no computer program or algorithm that accounts for that. And in fact, to the point where the nerds say it doesn't exist, that clutch and late doesn't exist. And I think they're categorically wrong, and I cannot get past that, Kev. I can't.
And you know what? I agree with you to a certain extent, because I agree that, you know, you have to take in that people are not robots. I agree. But, you know, Maz was just making the point, you know, you want to play your best player. Well, why do you want to play your best player? Because the data shows he's the best player. You know, so it's, you kind of made the argument for me.
Yeah. So, Kevin, look, again, to say that I don't believe in analytics is too strong. I do. I believe in some analytics. I think some of them are really valuable. What I don't believe in is people's ability to necessarily consume and adapt to those analytics. So my bigger issue with saying, as much as you go with the hot goalie, I'm worried about the ramifications it has on your other players. Like, I always use the closer by committee thing. In theory, great. But as soon as that guy's sitting out there and he doesn't know when he's going in the game, now you've got everybody uncertain.
What about the ramifications of playing Rask again in the same situation of last year? How do you think they feel? How do you think the team feels when that first one goes in? Oh, Jesus, here we are again. He's doing it again. That's what happened. And it'll happen again. You have to be ready for this.
It is absolutely true that after that first one went, you know, everyone points to the second one when Marchand had that wretched, unforgivable line change. It was the first. If you were in the building, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, you could feel
the
it.
The air went out of the balloon after the first. Everybody on the ice, off the ice, the first one. Oh, no. The second shot, a high tip, which was a tough save. It wasn't his fault, but still, it's like, and the other guys, you know, flopping all over the place, stopping everything, and the second shot goes in on a tip outside the faceoff circle. Like, oh.
Yeah, and how many of those guys, though?
So analytics doesn't account for that.
No, it doesn't, which I agree with. But how many of the guys on the team, and because I'm talking about the human element now, would have started anyone but Tuukka before that game?
No, well, they all would have started Rask. Justin and Beverly. Go ahead, Justin.
Hey, guys. Afternoon, gentlemen. Wanted to talk with you about what happens if we do start Tuukka. We commit to him. Bruins go up 3-0 in the Stanley Cup, and he whiffs in game 4. Who do we start in game 5?
So Murray?
Rask. No, not Rask. I'm sorry. Halak. Halak. You don't give him the chance because you can see it. It's happened before. They blew a 3-0 lead to Philly. You can't do it.
So this is why Rask, he needs a cup. Boy, does he need a cup. Because Price and Rene, they never had a home game 7 for the Stanley Cup. They never gave up 2 goals in the last minute 10 game 6 at home for the Stanley Cup. Neither of those guys blew a 3-0 lead in the second round of the Stanley Cup. Neither of those guys, and I'm just going to say this, although it may have happened, won the President's Trophy in the regular season to lose in the second round, which Rask has. Rask has had some gut punch, can't forget it sort of moments in the postseason that those guys haven't.
I mean, look, now that you mention it, he's lost the cup on his home ice twice.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes, he did. He sure did.
Oh, but that's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about the notion of, you know, you flip-flop no matter what. because that's what the formula calls for, that's asinine.
No, they're not the formula. Just your gut. Just go with your gut. And if there's going to be one coach that'll do it, it's Bruce Cassidy.
So right. So Murray's not arguing for analytics.
Yeah, screw that.
He's arguing against Rask in the big spot.
Okay.
Which is two different things. Joe in Plymouth, give me a Patriots thought.
Yeah, Mike, you're not going to agree with me, but as a Patriots fan, I hear you guys talk about Baltimore and Houston, and I'm just going to throw it out there. I think you're ignoring Buffalo. They have a good defense, a really good defense, and a very easy schedule. If you guys take a look at their schedule, you see what I mean.
So do you think that, Joe, do you think the division's in play?
I think they have a chance to win the division, and I know you're going to blow me up. But
No. Because that's the only way I would take him seriously. Look, Buffalo is built to win on the road in the postseason. They are built to win in winter. I mean, it is. I'm not scoffing at Buffalo. All I'm saying is they better win the division.
And Joe, we looked at the schedule yesterday. I looked at it over the weekend, earlier in the week, because I was doing something with regard to the Patriots and the likelihood of the AFC title game. Buffalo could easily go 12-4.
Okay, I don't think you're going 11-5.
No, I don't either. I'm just telling you that. You know, the problem is they're in the same division as the Patriots.
Exactly. And so not like Buffalo might have the second best record in the conference. They do right now. They're the number two team in the conference by record. But the way it works is you have to win your division, get that two seed. That's why San Diego, that's why the Chargers were here last year versus you schlepping out to L.A. Because they had a better record than you. But it's, you know, they didn't win their division. So Buffalo is not going to win their division. I'm sorry. They're just not.
Their schedule is garbage. And in fact, remember the story we talked about at the beginning?
So that means they're a wild card team, which means they're on the road, even though they're built to win on the road. I don't think they're going to come out of the wild card.
And
I'm sorry.
No,
and they don't have the quarterback play. Yeah, I'm with Murray on that one. But you remember the story early in the year that we looked at, which was who had the easiest roads to the Super Bowl? Remember we did that in the Patriots, had the easiest road? Buffalo was right there with them. They were right there. They also were one of the teams that had the easiest road. And it was primarily because of the schedule.
Well, they play in the AFC East and they play the NFC East. And so it's roughly the same teams as the Patriots.
Right, except that they got the ones even lower in the division.
Yeah.
In the non-matchup games, right? So you're talking about absolute freaking doorknobs in some of the games that they got. It's a cakewalk of a schedule. So their next one's the Dolphins. Then they also have the Redskins. They're at Cleveland, at Miami. They're home. They play the Eagles, but they play them at home. Like, you know, Buffalo could very easily go like 12-4. I'm telling you that the caller's not wrong.
And they're going to be a wild card team.
Right. The problem is that their one loss is to the Patriots already, and they have to come here.
And then they'll come here in the divisional round or something like this. So
So there's no, even if they go 13-3, they're going to lose both games to the Patriots.
Correct, sir. And then come here in the playoffs? Like, I just don't.
Yeah, me neither.
So it's, you know, they're in a tough spot. You know, it's one thing if they were in a different division and they're by home date in the divisional round, maybe host the AFC title, whatever. Then, you know, I just don't like their road. Murray, why are you smirking?
It's been like bizarro world here on this show the last couple of days. You're giving Belichick A's for all his terrible moves in the offseason the last few years. We got Boohoo Tuca Maz over here now. Like, I don't even know what show I'm on the last 48 hours.
You're on a show. See, you're a Patriots fan, so you can't wrap your head around someone just thinking independently and calling as it is. You're used to, you know, defend the wall or you hate the Patriots. It's like you have to be one or the other. You can't wrap your head around just independent intellectual thought.
Daron Harmon's a key piece of the defense.
Oh, I'm with you on that one, Murray. Seriously. Oh, yeah. How are we going to replace Larry Guy? Seriously. Oh, God. Yeah, what are they going to do when they lose Guy?
Those are personal moves that have worked. Those are personal moves that have worked. They're key components on the best defense in the league. Those are facts.
I didn't tell you the moves didn't work. You called it a great move. Larry Guy.
Lawrence. His name's Lawrence.
Yeah, he's great. Yeah, they're building his bust in Canton.
Here's
right now.
Jake in Boston. Go ahead, Jake.
Listen, I was the guy who would have started Halak in Game 7 with calling for it all spring long. Here's where the human element meets analytics, boys. Obviously, the eyes tell you that Tuukka Rask is a choke artist. But so does the data, because Tuukka is 3-3 in game 7. 5 of those were at home. He's allowed 3.5 goals a game in those game 7. And his save percentage in those game 7 were a disgraceful fine, which is completely unacceptable. This has happened over a decade, which shows you there is no he's playing well, he's not playing well variable. You have a pretty consistent sample.
So let me just stop you there, Jake. I trust you on Rask's performance in those situations. You want to do something real scary, Bruins fans? Take out home game sevens against Toronto. Okay, so just take out the home Toronto game sevens. And now tell me what Bergeron, Chara, Marchand, what those guys look like in those exact same spots.
I was just about to say, what was the bigger reason the Bruins lost that series? The performance of the first line or the goalie?
The first thing, the first line.
They sucked in that series.
Take out, if you hadn't played Toronto at home in game seven now, is it four times? Take out those games. Take out the games against the biggest loser franchise in all the sports. And tell me how Bergeron has looked in those spots, how Krejci's looked in those spots, how Chara's looked in those spots, how Marchand's looked in those spots. It ain't pretty. If we hadn't had Toronto to beat up around here, it'd be even uglier. It'd be even uglier around here. So, and if we're all being fair, it was that perfection line.
Bergeron and Marchand dominated Game 7 against Vancouver, though. They were good in that game.
That was a good one.
They were good in that game.
Excellent. No question about it. Who's the goalie in that one? I can't remember.
Tim Thomas.
Okay. coming up next, we'll continue with the conversation on this. We do want to hit on NFL coaching. NFL coaching and where it stands so far this year. We'll get to that right after these words.
Did you take your stupid pills this morning?
Someone wants back on the boat.
Seriously, I feel like everything you've said today might as well be coming out your ass.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go, go, go on the Sports Hub app.
Mass, I've been saying for years that the biggest problem in the NFL by far is the coaching. That there's way more good quarterbacks than good coaches. That there'd be even more good quarterbacks if there were coaches there to coach them up. That there are very few true head coaches left. They're really just promoted coordinators who only handle one side of the ball, leaving the other side to someone else. There's no true CEOs. There's no true head coaches. The coaching sucks. That if I rank my list of head coaches in the league, Belichick's one, and then I don't want to put anyone two. I don't want to put anyone three. I actually, my list goes Belichick number one, Frank Reich number six, or whoever your second best coach is. To me, I want to rank six. I've been saying this for years. I ask you as we sit here today going into week six of the NFL season, how's the coaching been in the league this year?
Good.
Pretty good overall.
It's been good. And this is because here's what else we've said this season, particularly in the last few weeks. I understand the coaching argument's been a bigger picture, went even longer than this year. But we've also said, boy, the last few weeks for the league have been important weeks and good weeks because a lot of these teams that were teetering have come back. And you know what? You know why they've all come back? Because of the coaching. So the backup quarterbacks have been good, but really, to me, the play of a team around a backup quarterback has more to do with the coach than it does the backup quarterback. It's about the institution. It's about the system, the program, as you like to say. And I think there were some great candidates this year for Coach of the Year.
Coach of the Year candidates. I just did a quick list. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I got 7 guys who are going to get consideration. Who would be your leader in the clubhouse right now?
Right now, for me, it's still Frank Reich. I just think the circumstances in Indy were difficult. You knew you had a team that people were talking about as being a Super Bowl contender on the night before the season, basically. Okay, on the eve of the season. Their franchise quarterback quit at age 29. That would have flushed a lot of teams down the toilet. So now here you go. Reich takes over. They're 3-2. They could easily win that division. Hell, they might be the team that comes in here for the AFC title game. So to me, he's still number one.
Who else deserves consideration?
It's Belichick. That's who I'm picking, and I'm sure I'll get blood by you two. But it's Belichick, considering he's completely transformed it. It's not so much about Brady anymore. It's about him and the way he's transformed that defense. And he hasn't won it since 2010. It's about time he would win the damn
thing. He's not on my list.
He wasn't even on my list.
The hell with you.
But you know what? He should be. He should be. That's my mistake for not. I didn't even think of it.
He's in tier two.
Ugh. If not him, Sean McDermott. How about that?
You good ones.
Sean McDermott's on the list.
He's my
sure.
third guy.
Sean McDermott has no quarterback. None. And his no quarterback even got hurt for a time. And he's 4-1, the second best team in the AFC right now.
He's number three on my list.
And there's a different mentality there, too. And, like, he's instilled this, like, I don't know, ballsiness that you haven't seen in Buffalo in 20-some-odd years.
Bill Belichick is 6-0 and has gotten middling quarterback play. So, look, I mean, if you win with a backup quarterback or middling quarterback play, you have my respect. And Brady is obviously much better than that. I'm just to Murray's sort of point. They're winning with defense and a full
special
team.
Teams.
A full team than other than just a quarterback going back and slinging it. Belichick deserves to be on the list. Who else deserves to be on the list?
Sean Payton.
Absolutely.
He's number two for me. And again, he lost a franchise quarterback. He lost Drew Brees. They plugged in Teddy Bridgewater, and they haven't been pumping up all these points. It's, you know, they've been winning with defense, too. They've been winning tight games against good competition. They beat Dallas at home. Peyton's on the list. You could argue that Peyton is the coach of the year.
Guys who are going to get strong consideration, keep going. I've got eight guys. Those are four, if you can include Belichick. Give me another one.
Kyle Shanahan. That was a gimme.
Undefeated. Undefeated for a team that hasn't made the playoffs in how long?
He's number four for me.
They're 5-0 on the way to whatever, 12-4. He's going to get votes. Kyle Shanahan is going to get votes. Give me another one.
You're not
going to
like this one. John Gruden.
Not on my list.
No, Oakland, 3-2.
That's a good one, actually.
I mean, again, the whole Antonio Brown stupidity, for crying out loud. That whole thing, they make that blockbuster move. And you know what they've done there? They're integrating young players. The Raiders are getting better. I don't know if they're great. They might finish 7-9. Who the hell knows? But right now, they're in it. And they've been legit.
Nine guys. Who else?
Pete.
Pete's going to be on the list.
Yeah. I mean, considering what the Seahawks have done.
They're 5-1. Yeah.
So, again, to me, he's with Belichick in tier two, and I'll explain why, but go ahead.
They're 5-1 on their way to either another division crown or the playoffs for sure, and I don't know, he's rebuilt the thing. You know, they had their dip wasn't even that big. You know, their retool, their reset wasn't even that. And I know it's a coach of the year and not coach of the last 5 years sort of thing, but you've got to mention Pete for the job he's done.
So to me, I put him in tier two because I think that's more about the quarterback.
I'll give you one that, I mean, he won't win it, but you can make a case, a little bit of a case for Pat Shurmur at the New York Giants. Mike, the thing was 0-2.
They're 2-4.
He made the decision to, they were 0-2. He goes to the rookie quarterback. He sits Eli. That's still a tough decision to make in New York because the guy was still talked about like he's one of the all-time greats, even though he just won two Super Bowls.
Murray, can I stop you? You can't give a coach of the year who's 2-4.
If they turn that thing around, because that whole division's completely sideways now, and if they're competitive, you can make a case for Pat Shurmur.
If he turns around and wins the division, get back to me. Right now, he's in last place. He's in second to last place at 2-4.
The whole division sucks. They've actually been pretty competitive since they put the kid in.
You can't give a coach of the year or even consideration to someone who's 2-4. What are you smoking?
He's also tier two. But again,
he's not even tier four.
I think he's doing a decent job.
He's 2-4. I don't think he's the guy. I think that I don't even know if he's going to keep his job.
I think they're getting better.
Ugh.
Genius stands alone.
2-4. That's not genius.
And I said a small case. Again, putting words in my mouth.
Okay, a guy who's going to get consideration is Ron Rivera.
He's on my list, number six.
And I don't love him. I'm just telling you. Your MVP quarterback who goes down, and is he what now? Is he 4-0 with
him? Yeah, 4-0.
Yeah, 4-0 with Kyle Allen.
He's going to get serious consideration, and he should.
No question.
So that you give it to the 4-2 guy, Murray, not the 2-4 guy.
He's won it too many times. He's won it twice in like the last 6 years.
And you're going to hate this one, but
brace yourself.
They're 5-1.
Oh, Matt LaFleur?
And they haven't made the playoffs in 2 years. He's going to get consideration.
Yeah, he's in tier two also.
I'm just telling you.
That's more about Mike Pettine, the defensive coordinator.
Please, they got a horseshoe up their ass.
I don't love him. I'm just telling you. When you go out of the playoffs two straight years, take over, and then go 5-1, Matt LaFleur is going to get consideration.
He is. But, okay, I also think that team's doing it with mirrors a little bit.
So, look, you can make a case, and guys are going to get consideration, or at least you can say doing a really good job. That's nine guys. McDermott, Frank Reich, Sean Payton, Ron Rivera, Kyle Shanahan, Pete Carroll, Matt LaFleur, Bill Belichick, John Gruden.
You want more?
Do you have another one in the first tier?
Yep. Well, close. I mean, right on the cusp. Matt Patricia.
Oh, yeah, that one's pretty good.
They should be 3-1-1. They got absolutely freaking porked by the referees on Monday night. They played well. They're improving. They played better than Green Bay did the other night.
Well, but you can't give them a win they didn't get.
Okay, but again, 2-2-1. They've been in every game. They've been extremely competitive. I thought they were going to suck lemons this year. I thought they were going to suck eggs.
Who deserves to be coach of the year more, Matt Patricia or Bill Belichick?
Patricia.
Oh, Belichick.
Stop. Belichick.
Belichick's got like a... How much talent they have on defense?
Pete Carroll or Matt Patricia?
Patricia.
Jesus. What happened to you?
Because again, I told you.
Just because they looked good, because they don't look like the same anemic, pathetic Detroit. I mean, that's a low bar.
No, because it's about, to me, coach of the year is about overachieving. It's not about,
I don't know if they're
being 5-1.
I don't know if they're overachieving.
No, see, this is what I'm at, where I'm at with the Shermer thing. Considering what the expectations were going into the season.
2-4 makes perfect sense to me. 2-4 is what they should be. They suck.
Yeah, but to go to
have
to
a 333 winning percentage, that's what the Giants should have.
You don't get it.
I get it.
To go to the kid when Eli Manning was looked at as the starter.
And lose.
Nah, the hell with it. It's like talking to a wall.
See, I put emphasis on the trending. I put it, like, where's it going? Is it getting better?
I think at some point the record comes into play. If you're 2-4 or 2-2-1, I have a hard time saying you're going to get coach of the year consideration.
Yeah, so listen, I get that. I'm just telling you, where's it going? Like, which teams have gotten better since the beginning of the year?
You're,
have the Patriots gotten better since the beginning of the year?
Yeah, I can't tell you something. The Packers got some calls, but you're overrating Detroit's performance a little bit, dude.
Have the Patriots gotten better since the beginning of the year?
I think they're the same.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, but the defense is playing at an incredibly high level.
I agree. So there's not much room to go up. But what I would, to me, the coach of the year is who's improving. Who's getting better? Which teams have gotten better by the most or overcome the most? And the Patriots aren't on that list for me. This isn't dumping on Belichick. If he asked me to pick a coach, I'm taking Bill. Bill's the best coach in the league. Fact, it's not even close. But the award, he gets penalized because he's a great coach. He does.
Pat Shurmur.
Huh? He's my tier two.
Oh, wait, how could he be on any tier? The only tier he should be on the upper deck of the toilet. He's an upper decker. That's the tier he's on. His team is 2-4.
I think Mike Tomlin's doing a good job this year, given what's going on there with third string quarterbacks. I think Cliff Kingsbury's got 2 wins for Arizona already. That's pretty good. And I think he sucks, but you know
that offenses look pretty good.
But they're actually getting better.
Okay. I mean, I'll give you those guys more than Pat Shurmur.
That's Murray's.
They started 0-2. He made the tough decision to go to the kid. They're doing it with a lot of without a lot of their weapons.
What are they doing?
They've actually won games when no one expected them to.
Two.
They look like a 1-15 team after two weeks.
Two. So now they're on the pace for 2-14.
In a competitive division where everyone sucks.
Competitive.
So it's still because anyone could win it. Thus, competitive.
Okay. There's our conversation. The coaching this year, actually pretty good. Actually pretty good. Although not perfect. All right, we'll continue with your thoughts after Murray's update. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
What happened on the 4th and 9 play call?
Bad call.
Did you want that play call?
Yes, I wanted that play call.
Do you think you catch him in a... What was your thinking on that?
It just didn't work. It was a bad call.
So we didn't say all the coaching was good. That's your guy, Freddie Kitchens, i.e. Freddie Kittens, as Murray once said famously, in Cleveland, which got us thinking. Matt said in the break, why don't we come up with the bottom five? So we just gave you 9 Coach of the Year candidates, 9 guys who I think are going to get votes or consideration when it's all said and done, and I'm not including Pat Shurmur. 9 not including Pat Shurmur. 10 if you include Pat Shurmur. But... let's do the exercise in reverse.
Okay, good.
The 5 worst coaches in the league.
Okay.
Number 1.
Well, see.
Number 1 worst. Number 32.
Okay, well, I think we have to eliminate Freddie Kitchens. It's like Belichick. There's a gap between him and everybody else. It's a runaway.
I'm not sure it's a runaway.
So, I think it is.
Keep going.
He's a complete boob. So outside of Freddie Kitchens, Dan Quinn, Atlanta. That team has quit. They're giving up 50 points a week or 35 points a week or whatever the hell it is. They were in the Super Bowl just a couple of years ago.
And he's a defensive-minded guy, and they've completely tuned him out.
Oh, he's done. He's toast. Dan Quinn, to me, is number one.
If not Kittens, then Zach Taylor of the Bengals, who's off-brand Sean McVay. He was the quarterback's coach of the Rams last year who get to the Super Bowl. So a lot of good that's done for Andy Dalton. He's useless.
So I don't even know what kind of... See, he's not on my list because I don't know what kind of roster he has.
He shouldn't even have the job. List.
Well, but, I mean, what if his roster is an 0-5 roster and he's just coaching to the roster?
Yeah, they got a couple of players on offense.
Which ones?
They got a good running back in Mixon. They got a couple of good receivers. What's his name? John Ross has had a good year. The other kid has stepped up. Eifert's been healthy. Like, they suck. Like, he blows. That coach blows. He shouldn't be... I'm with Murray. He's on the list.
Number two behind Freddie Kittens is Jason Garrett.
Now, that clapping idiot makes my list, too.
I forgot about him.
Yes. Jason Garrett. Talk about a team that's underperforming. Do you know about a team with talent?
I also think they've tuned him out. There was a clip from last week's game.
No one gave him the high five coming off the field? That was great.
Clapping it up, looking for high fives and anyone to dap him up, and no one did it.
Jason Garrett's on my list. Lance Lynn is on my list.
Anthony.
Okay.
Not the pitcher.
I called him Lance all last year, too.
Of course, Lance Lynn, St. Louis Cardinals pitcher. Fat and ugly. Two and four.
2-4, but one of the wins doesn't count. It was Miami. So as far as I'm concerned, they're 1-4.
Very talented team.
A lot of players there.
Very talented team. Hung over from, the Pats ruined them, and another coach that's gone to an absolute puddle after losing to the Patriots. Anthony Lynn is on my list. Jason Garrett is on my list. Dan Quinn is on my list. And I put Pat Shermer on my list just for Murray.
Just to piss him off?
Of course. Yes. But what about the guy we're going to see Monday who's paranoid, pathetic, and really shouldn't be running an operation? Offensive coordinator, quarterbacks coach, fine. But it's been proven Adam Gase is not a head coach in the NFL.
They got the wrong guy down there.
Not on my list.
They got the wrong guy.
No, you're missing two.
I'm missing two of them?
Yeah. And now, again, if we're talking about teams underperforming.
So is Mike Vrabel on your list?
Yep. 2-4. And you know who their two wins against? Freddie Kitchens and Arizona. Cliff Kingsbury. They're 0-4 against everybody else. That team was... Did they make the playoffs last year? They just missed.
They just missed.
Okay. So again, I'm sorry. Not good enough. There were a lot of teams winning with bad quarterbacks.
And I'll tell you... Exactly right. And I'll tell you, love you, Mike. I mean it. But you got to coach both sides of the ball. I mean, you can't just... They saw these sideline shots of him with the quarter, with Mariota throwing another duck, or Tannehill throwing an interception, or the offense being anemic, and they'll just cut to him on the sidelines with this disgusted look on his face, and you can just tell he's saying, "Look at these jackasses!" Like, no, that's your problem. That's not your offensive coordinator's problem. That's your problem. And Vrabel deserves consideration there. Who else there, Maz?
McVay. I love McVay. He's a good coach. Having a bad year.
3-3. If Legatron hits an easy field goal, they're 4-2.
I don't care. Still, at the end of the day, talk about a lot of talent. They got a lot of talent on that roster. 3-3.
The trend line is bad. So, but you know what? I had a harder time compiling 7, 8, 9 names of bad coaches than good coaches this year. Jobs that they've done. I think there's been a bunch of coaches that have done a good job. I had a harder time coming up with a long list of guys who've done a bad job.
Baloney boy in Jacksonville should probably be out of work at this point. Like, he's overstayed his welcome. Doug Marrone.
Again, lost his quarterback.
And hung in there. And they're 2-4, so I'm not putting him on my coach of the year list. But I don't know. He's given some tough circumstances. I mean, they should be 2-4.
I didn't have any trouble with this at all. I came up with 9 names. 9. Seriously.
Who else?
But again, that's counting Freddie Kitchens, who really has disqualified himself from the field because he's a runaway winner. So I have Vic Fangio in there.
Yeah.
That team has sucked.
He sucks.
Like, well, what's he done?
Blows.
And I threw Jay Gruden on there. He's been fired, but sorry. You don't bring in Case Keenum to go 0-6.
But we all agree. 1-5.
Sorry, they beat Miami.
We all agree. And your point is that Freddie Kitchens is in just a class of his own.
Absolutely.
I mean, we played to the cut. Coming back, the draw on 4th and 9. A draw. Not on 3rd and 9. 4th and 9. What ball game was that? It was one of the primetime games. Either way, he did that.
It was the game against the Rams.
You mentioned him a couple times. Thanks, Vin, for showing me the difference between Lance Lynn and Anthony Lynn. I keep getting that mixed up. No reason to, other than I'm bad with names. You mentioned yesterday that the Browns are among the most penalized teams in the league.
Yes.
So, like, we mentioned this, as bad as officiating has been, as much of a problem it is, when you combine it with stupid coaches, then you really get a cluster, which is why you get these Cleveland Brown games. Do you want to hear Freddie Kitten's? You have this cut, Jimmy, from Sunday. Freddie Kitten's explaining why his team gets so many penalties. You'll have fun with this one, Jim. Here's mastermind Freddie Kitchens.
I think it's a fact of not focusing, not concentrating. And sometimes it's playing with emotion instead of passion. After the whistle is potion or motion instead of passion.
You can stop it right there, Murray. Go ahead.
Potion and the motion. All those flags are to me is them bright, fancy napkins. And they're just throwing because I still got barbecue sauce on my mouth.
Mm. What did he say? What was the beginning that he said? It's about what? Can we play that again?
He is a moron.
It's after the whistle, you want to play with emotion, not passion. What was it? You're right.
No, what did he say at the beginning?
Go ahead. Just go ahead. Roll it again.
I think it's a fact of not focusing, not concentrating. And sometimes it's playing with emotion instead of passion. After the whistle is potion or motion instead of passion. during the play, it's technique, being lazy. Not doing your job, you know, there's several things, you know. We don't ever practice penalties. So it's something between when the ball is snapped and the whistle, it's usually technique, error, being in a bad position. Every now and then your hand will get caught in somebody's face mask or something like that. You're trying to tackle a guy, you get a face mask. And this is just not defensively. This is offensively, too. Offense, defense, everybody's involved. So... you know, you got to play with good technique during the whistle, and you got to play with passion and not emotion after the whistle.
I got the passion emotion. Yeah, we got the thing. Yeah, we got it.
So, again, he's talking about technique, focus, emotions running wild. Passion. I put that all under the umbrella of bad coaching is what I put it under. Seriously, that's bad coaching.
We don't ever practice penalties. We don't even practice at all.
Two most penalized teams in the league, Cleveland, Atlanta.
Coaching.
Two worst coaches in the league.
I'm telling you, but the league needs it. Atlanta doesn't matter. Cleveland is a team that should matter. It's about time that team matters, and they have the talent, and we've been saying this all season. The league needs to perform an intervention.
After all the hype, all the talent, on both sides of the ball, it's not just the Mayfield, Odell, Beckham Jr. thing. Like that, defensively, they're talented, too, and have looked okay on that side of the ball. They got to step in. Like something has to happen here.
And he's not just a bozo. He's not capable. He's not a CEO. He's not capable of handling 60 men and all the things that come with being a head coach. That is obvious.
He's a janitor.
His play calling blows. You watch him. I watched the Cleveland game. That mess on the goal line where he first tried to challenge whether Landry was over the goal line, and then there was the fumble forward, so they had to go back. They were lining up to run it on 4th-and-1. That's when he threw the challenge flag. Chubb would have scored on the initial play, but they challenged it, and they blew the play dead, right?
Yeah.
So they lose the challenge. They have to go back up and line up on 4th-and-0.5 for the same thing. He ran the exact same play. I went and looked at it. He brought out the exact same personnel and ran the exact same play. Like, Freddie.
I'm just playing possum.
You don't think you just
telegraphed it?
You ran the play and it worked. Seattle knows it worked. You don't think they're going to say, okay, let's watch out for Chubb here off of the right guard? You just did this. And he ran the exact same thing again with the exact same, because you know what he did. He said, run it again. We're going to run it again. We're going to slam it right down their throat. Because that's how these morons think. And he got stopped in the backfield. It was the exact same play.
Oh, yeah. No. That's one of those where you say, there's no way they would think that we'd be dumb enough to run the same play again. So let's run it again.
All right. So there's your thoughts to your calls after this.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5.
The Sport. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Listening to Felger and Mass.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
You said Adam Gase was one of the best game planners in the game.
Well, that we face. I mean, just, you know, faced him several times here in recent years, so I'd certainly put him up there based on that, yeah.
So what would you say goes into that for him? What makes him so good? What makes
everything.
Him good? You said everything?
Yeah. Game plan, play calling, strategy, use of personnel, use of plays. I mean, all things go into it. It's not one thing.
Yeah, specific style, I guess, that makes him.
Yeah, he attacks each defense based on the personnel matchups that he can create differently from week to week. I mean, he'll tell you that. I mean, he said it after the Dallas game. It's obvious.
That's Bill on Adam Gase. This follows a pattern this year. He has been pumping the tires of the biggest bums in the league. Remember week one against Pittsburgh, which is the classic we just do what we do kind of team?
Yeah.
Belichick went out of his way to say they change things up every week. They're always changing. They're like, he's full of crap. And then there was another one in between this that, oh, it was just so obvious. He was just, and so now Adam Gase, you know, he's one of the best we face. Well, what makes him so good? Everything. And that's what the reporter says. Everything. Yeah. Game planning, play calling, strategy, use of personnel, use of plays. I mean, all the things that go into it. It's not one thing. Everything. Adam Gase is good at everything. I think the guy blows. I think the Jets have the wrong guy, and it's going to put him back a couple of years till they figure out that he's not the right guy, and then they bring in the right guy, and so they've got a whole other cycle to go through, in my opinion.
I'm not as convinced as you are. I'm not telling you he's good. I mean, I'm not sitting here telling you that. I don't know if he blows as much as you think he does.
Well, let me tell you what I think he is. I think he's a coordinator. So, like the things Bill says, can he spend an hour and 40 minutes? I'm sorry. Can he spend 140 hours during the week in the building going over film and concocting a game plan and scheming something up? Sure, I think he probably can. Because I feel like that part makes sense to me. As a former quarterback's coach and coordinator and that, like, I think he's that. But now you're in the game on Sunday. The clock's ticking down. The bullets are flying. You've got to coach defense and special teams and coordinate the whole thing and run the whole thing. I think he's zero chance. Zero. 0.0. I've watched some Jets this year. In some situations, they've been just absolutely anemic because there's no sort of leadership there. He's buried in the play sheet like the rest of them.
So I want to see how this week goes because this week could tell us a lot. You know, he's got Darnold back. I know it's only been a couple of weeks. Darnold's played pretty well since the end of last year. I was looking it up today. His last six games, his rating's almost 100. 98.5. His worst game was against the Patriots. Not that that should be a surprise. I thought he looked terrific last week against Dallas. So I think the Patriots are going to have a game Monday night. Now, can the Jets score? I don't know. I'd take the Jets and the points, though. They covered the first time they were here. Why wouldn't they be able to cover now? They're at home. They're playing better. They get their quarterback back. I know the number's lower. It's 8.5 or whatever it was. So, you know, I don't know. I'm eager to see what it looks like.
Yeah, but how did the Jets cover? Wasn't it that Jamal Adams pick six against Stidham?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Don't play Stidham. I think you're going to cover.
I'm just giving you the scoreboard.
I don't know. And there's a little bit of an asterisk there.
Yeah, and Olszewski screwed up that punt return. And then.
Yeah, right. That's how they got their points. I'm just telling you, Gase ain't the guy. Gase ain't the guy, not the guy, and they're going to find that out. But it's going to take him a year or two to find out because he's going to get a reprieve this year because he can say, oh, I lost my quarterback in the first month, and that put us behind. And so, you know, Dingleberry, you know, idiot Woody Johnson up there, who's not even paying attention to the team anyway, is going to give him a second chance. And so, you know, the Jets fan is going to have to wait a year and a half for them to fully figure out how badly he sucks. Now, you know, so and by, at that point, what does Sam Darnold look like? I just think it's going to set him back.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I think it could work with him and Darnold. And again, I'm not telling you they're turning into a Super Bowl team. I'm telling you what I saw last week, and I know it was Dallas. It's Jason Garrett. But I think the Jets look like a different team with Darnold the quarterback. Their defense is pretty good, and I'm not taking it back. I think the Jets are going to be in contention for a wild card spot by the end of the year.
Ah, that contention word.
Yeah, contend. Contend doesn't mean win.
Let me ask you, will the Jets contend for the playoffs like the Celtics will contend for the NBA Finals? I didn't say championship. I said contend for the NBA Finals. Who will be a stronger contender? Thank you. Hold on. Let me rephrase.
Who will get closer?
Let me rephrase. Who will be a stronger contender, the Jets for the playoffs or the Celtics for the Eastern Conference Finals or / NBA Finals?
Jets.
Ugh. So wrong.
No, the Celtics.
Jets.
So wrong.
Jets.
You're so wrong.
The gap between the NBA championship caliber teams and everybody else is huge.
I didn't say win a championship.
No, I just said the gap. I said the gap. I didn't say
the gap. So you think the gap between the Bucks and the Sixers and the Celtics is huge?
I think the gap between the Clippers and the Lakers and the Celtics is huge.
I didn't, but that's to win it. That's not to get there.
So I said the gap between the teams that can win the championship in the NBA.
So you don't get what I'm saying. I'm not talking about winning it.
You're saying contend.
Contend to get there.
Still bigger for the Celtics.
Okay.
But the AFC sucks. AFC sucks. The Jets are, I'm telling you, I'm not telling you they're getting in. By the
East,
end of the year,
the East and the NBA sucks.
They're not going to get eliminated till like week 16. Watch.
Okay. We'll see.
You watch.
Jason and Hyannis, a few quick calls here. Jason and Hyannis, go.
So the thing about the head coaches, it's the funny thing was less than 12 months ago, you were telling me that they were the head coaches were their complete clown punchers.
Yes.
There was nothing.
Clown
now
punchers.
You're naming nine of them that are just great all of a sudden. I don't understand. And then the quarterback situation, you were looking for trying to find something where it was. Now it is. Now where are the quarterbacks now?
Jason, I'm just calling it as I see it. We're just telling you what's happened. There's been some good coaching jobs this year. You don't agree?
But no, I understand what you're saying, but how do we go from such a drastic change where
because guys have done well.
The coaches are now so good? They're yes. not so good. The head coaches right now are still the same. They still suck.
Okay.
They still suck. It's Belichick. Oh, it's Belichick, dude. It's Belichick, and then, I mean, who's number two? It's got to be what?
So wait, Sean? So you're just one of these guys that doesn't want to say nice things about other coaches? Is that one of those guys?
So I also think they're, you know, look, we're only six games in.
They went from punching the clown to what? But I don't believe it. The coaching's the biggest problem in the league. There's some guys who've done some good jobs.
And I think there are different ways to get a team to rally. This is one of the things that is a distinction. So, you know, X's and O's guys, I don't know if I put Ron Rivera on the list. Will his players play for him? Feels that way.
Apparently.
You know, and he's got an offensive coordinator now and a quarterback who doesn't make mistakes. So maybe a lot of the credit there should go to Norv Turner and certainly to Kyle Allen. But, you know, I would even say Pittsburgh. Okay, Pittsburgh tactically, strategically, I have no respect for. But are they playing hard every week and are they getting the most out of a third-string quarterback? To me, that's Tomlin's ability to get through to his players.
Here's Jerry in Big Jim's hometown, Murrayville. Go ahead, Jerry.
Michael, I've called to apologize to you.
Oh, no.
I don't know how many. What?
No. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. No. Because see, this goes back to the beginning of the season, way before the season started, when all the hype was on Cleveland. And I'm 73. I've been a Patriot fan my entire whole life. So all of a sudden, Cleveland can now have a team to be. You know, they can have something. They had Odell Beckham. They got this and that. And the
yes,
other
sir, thing. Jerry. So what's the point?
Okay. Well, you and Murray were ragging on Kitchens.
Yep.
And so I called you up, and I'm like, what the hell? Why are you ragging on this guy? And you and Murray both said, well, he only goes for backfield. Why he doesn't? He's going to be in so far over his head.
He sucks, now, Jerry. He sucks.
This is March. So... I am just called to just, I'm sorry that I
Jerry,
doubted you. Yeah.
Don't apologize ever, dude.
Don't
apologize ever. Win some, you lose some. That's all. Don't apologize. I demand an apology. But you should have seen Freddie Kitchens coming from a mile away. This guy's a joke.
Oh, my God. He blows. Seriously, he might be the worst coach I've ever seen. I'm telling you.
And this is Rich Kotite type stuff. Like, he's completely in over his head.
They said on one of these broadcasts, and I couldn't put it better myself. At this time last year, he was in charge of four guys.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.